Hello, Kaz. What's going on, brother?
I'm doing well, thanks. Nice to hear your lovely voice there, Steinberg.
It is great to hear from you as well, and I'm excited to get into your March draft ratings, which are coming out a little bit later on today. Every month at Sportsnet.ca, Sammy puts out his 2020 NHL draft prospect rankings, and the March ones are out today, and will be published very soon. The February ones to the March ones. Before we get into specifics, how much change are we talking about here from 1 month to the next?
You know what? Not a ton of change. A little bit of jockeying more towards, 20 on down. There seems to be, a groundswell of a few players, some defensemen, some Germans are making their mark. So there is a little bit of a change there. But inside of the top 10, it's just kind of jumbled around a little bit. I wouldn't say a lot. I mean, Marco Rossi's, he kind of hangs tight at five. You got Lafreniere and Byfield right at the top. Tim Stützle is a guy that's gotten a lot of love that scouts may think at some point will wind up as the number two prospect when the draft comes around. So there is a little bit of interest there. I mean, Byfield's been banged up a little bit since the World Juniors, and Stützle's, he's made a pretty good run there with Mannheim in the German League. So that's kind of what's gone on there. But really, this is really just turned into a one-man race with Lafreniere up at the top.
And that you don't see that changing at any point. Like, this guy's dialed in from now until the draft is the number one prospect, no questions asked, right?
Yeah, but I think the fun part will be once the lottery takes place and to see if anyone really takes a run at that number one spot. I mean, you're looking at teams with multiple picks in the first round. Where is it that value lies? I mean, what's going to happen with Ottawa? Where are they going to end up picking? If they don't get in the one spot but they have two other picks in the top five, does the team that actually wins the lottery value those two picks as opposed to taking Lafreniere? So, I think Ottawa, Montreal is obviously going to look into it because of where the draft is, because of the background of Lafreniere. They'd be silly not to at least investigate it once the draft lottery, drops. So I think that's going to be the fun part. But I don't think there's any mystery behind when we get to Montreal that Friday night in June that Lafreniere will be the top guy.
So, Quinton Byfield was your number two prospect in February. Is he still sitting two in March?
He is, but I do think that Stützle is the guy that's really making a push. I've talked to a couple of scouts that were recently over there to see him. They've been really impressed by what he's been able to do. He's got a pretty good World Junior under his belt as well. There's a bit of track record with the Mannheim program. Think of back to Moritz Seider last year. I think the way that you look at it right now is that Byfield continues to be that guy, and sometimes it gets overlooked. There's a 6'4", 215-pound center. Of course, that's a guy you want to hang your hat on down the middle of the ice. But Stützle, having said that, playing in the German League against men has also been a very attractive player for a lot of people. And I think the one thing that kind of sticks out for me about Byfield is when you look at the World Juniors, yeah, the numbers weren't great. He wasn't played a whole lot. So people say, all right, that's a bit of a shot. When you look at what's happened in our national game, we had him in Oshawa earlier in the year. They got blasted 7-0. He didn't do a whole lot there. Some people would consider that a bigger stage. And then I look at the Kubota CHL-NHL Top Prospects game, and he wasn't really noticeable in that game either. So, again, on the big stage, he's seemingly struggled. Now, you can go back and make a case for justification as to why that happened. At the World Juniors, hey, he's a younger player. Of course, he's not going to get the top line minutes. He started out as a guy in camp that looked like he was going to play in the top six. By the end of it, Team Canada relied on some of its older players and some of the players more familiar to the coaching staff, and obviously it worked out. The top prospects game, it's a one-off. So people say, yeah, it's one game, big deal. No one really cares about it. And does anyone really looking at a game in November that's on the national network as something that's a big stage, that's all debatable. But the fact of the matter is, in those instances, he hasn't produced. Now, the regular season, unbelievable, great track record from last year. The size, awesome kid, all that stuff plays.
Very interesting. And, I find, because Stutzel's interesting to me. just because, you know, he does play in a league that, you know, we don't see as much of, and we don't get an opportunity to watch all that much of. But at his age, to be putting up the points that he's putting up in Germany, like with men, that really sticks out to me. He's turned into one of the most interesting players in this draft. I mean, I've talked to people back here who watch, whether it be people in the Flames organization or other scouts who are around here. Like, people just rave about this guy from afar. So yeah, he has really turned into, you know, Byfield's been the number two guy essentially all year, but Stützle might be the most interesting player in the draft for me when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I think there's great intrigue there. And, you know, the situation we're in with the COVID-19 scare may put some international events in jeopardy, and that would be a real shame, because if I go back and think about Moritz Seider last year and the opportunity to play in the men's world championships for someone that age is a really, really unique experience. So, you know, would that or could that opportunity still present itself? Obviously, it remains to be seen, but that would be a really neat thing to see how that player would go and do against not just men, like he's playing in the German league, but some of the best players in the world. So I don't know if we're going to get the opportunity to see that. You know, we're in a lot of really interesting territory right now in the scouting world, and that's something that, you know, like, is the under-18s in jeopardy? Is the men's worlds in jeopardy? You know, teams have now started to really look at the travel and sending personnel from one continent to the other. So it can play a factor. And I'll say this, Steiny, and not to get off topic, but it is fascinating to me, because a lot of teams sort of were putting off their viewings of some of the best European players until this April tournament in Plymouth, Michigan, because it's in North America. That opportunity may not present itself any longer.
Yeah, that is kind of a really interesting side story to this whole thing, because, you know, NHL travel's been suspended to Europe and all that type of stuff. I'm really curious to see what that does for scouting when it's all said and done. With Sam Cosentino, our Sportsnet junior hockey analyst, no one knows more about this 2020 NHL draft than Cos. His rankings are out today. The 2020 NHL draft rankings for March are out. So tell us a little, anybody else that has really taken some big steps? Any other big-time risers for this year that have really jumped off the page to you going from the February to March rankings?
There'd be three guys in particular, and there was a bit of a jump for two of them, two defensemen in the February rankings, and they maintain pretty high spots here in March. And that would be Caden Gooley of the Prince Albert Raiders, who some people are familiar with, his brother Brendan, who played also in Prince Albert before being moved to Prince George in the last year of his career. Good skater, plays with a lot of bite. He's a play killer and neutral ice, good gap guy, and has some of that old school mentality to him, which I really like. Jake Sanderson, the son of former NHLer Jeff Sanderson, who plays in the U.S. under-18 program, has had a huge rise to prominence. And the one thing that really sticks out to me, aside from, you know, the skating, which he has inherited from his dad, but it's the intangibles, the leadership qualities that he's able to bring to the table, that people naturally follow this young man in that under-18 dressing room. And the other guy would be Jack Quinn. He plays for the Ottawa 67s. He's a right winger. He's a guy who's really detailed when it comes to the finer points of his game. He's got 48 goals now in the Ontario Hockey League, a massive, massive jump year over year. And I think people are really excited about the developmental curve he's on. And that's what has scouts really drooling, thinking that, hey, this could continue to happen for this player. What's he going to be 3-4 years from now?
Yeah. And what about in terms of big-time drops? Anybody that is, you know, close to dropping off the page for you, or anybody that, you know, has maybe started to lose favor with you in terms of the first round for this year's draft?
Yeah, it's really interesting, Steiny, because when you look to kind of what's happened towards the end of the first round, I think we could say one, yeah, there's a gap there. And then when we look at probably the next 9 to 11 prospects down to 12, you'll probably see another gap there. And then it really opens up a lot. So in terms of someone having a massive drop, I don't think that's necessarily the case. But I do think that there are some players that are going to find themselves probably anticipating being, you know, inside of 20 or maybe 15 that might find themselves down, you know, into that 22 to 31 range. And a lot of it's going to depend really on you know, what teams are heavily into the video scouting, if they can't attend events in Europe or can't get an opportunity to see some of these players, depending on what happens. Like, I think, you know, we're really in that unknown period right now. How much, you know, the other factor, and I've talked about this in the article today, is the fact that this draft has a lot of the higher-end guys that are late 01s. So that means there's an additional book on a lot of those players. So scouts are going to feel more confident about those players because they've seen them play essentially an extra year. Whereas some of the O2s and maybe some of the ones that they were waiting to see in Plymouth, if that opportunity doesn't present itself, how is it that you go about determining where that player status is? So I do think that once we get past 12, and depending on the climate we find ourselves in between now and the end of the season, that's going to be a real fascinating time period for me to see how all of these guys end up kind of you know, slushing themselves out here.
With Sam Cosentino, our Sportsnet junior hockey analyst. Again, his 2020 March rankings for the upcoming NHL draft are out right now on Sportsnet.ca. Beginning of every month, he releases those rankings, and no surprise, Alexis Lafreniere remains on top. Quinton Byfield still holding down that number two, but the difference between Byfield and Tim Stützle in Germany starting to close in that 2-3 spot for Sammy. Just before we let you go, Cos, I did want to ask you a little bit about the Western Hockey League and how you're scouting that as it comes to an end this year, the regular season winding down. And, you know, people are talking about how this might be one of the most wide-open years in the Western League in a long, long time. What's your feel on the Dub as we move towards the postseason here?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome for me. I mean, Edmonton's been a front runner all season long in the Eastern Conference. Everyone talks about that progression of Calgary and how no one would want to play them. The Calgary Hitmen in the first round, that's going to be fun to watch. The Central Division also featuring, you know, the Medicine Hat Tigers, who have had an outstanding year in the return of Willie Desjardins behind the bench. That's been a fun story to watch. And then you look at Everett, one of the hottest teams in all the CHL right now, if not the hottest, really kind of make it a rise to a point where a lot of people thought Portland might run away with things over there, you know, in the Western Conference and in that U.S. division. You've got the Kamloops Blazers, who are playing ticked off because they were denied a chance to host the Memorial Cup. You got the host Kelowna Rockets that have not had a great year, but since the coaching change to Chris Millett, looks like they've started to turn things around. So I agree with that sentiment that it is wide open in the Western Hockey League. It's going to be a lot of fun because there are a lot of really good teams out there, and I don't know if that one rock star team exists. I think a month ago we might have said that about Portland, maybe Edmonton. I'm not so sure that that's the case now.
And just for us out in the West, give us a little bit more of a deep dive into the OHL and the Q down the stretch. What's jumping off the page to you? Who are the teams to watch in the Ontario and the Quebec leagues?
Well, you know, the London's on a really good run right now. I don't think a lot of people are surprised to get to the second half. Their coaching staff gets back to be focused on their home club after working at the World Juniors. And I think the defensive part of their game is always intact. You know, pretty good story there. They got a guy by the name of Brett Brochu who's come out of Junior C to be the number one goalie there, which has been a really cool story to watch. And then I look at the Ottawa 67s, who've been really at the top, you know, the standings all season long in the Ontario Hockey League. They're so deep. They're good in the back. They've got, you know, a nice goaltender set up with the youngster Will Cranley, but the guy who's carried the load is Cedric Andre. They've been a lot of fun to watch. So those are kind of the two teams that are looking at in the Ontario Hockey League. In the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, the Moncton Wildcats made a lot of trades at the deadline. They, too, have gone through a coaching change. They're rocking and rolling. Chicoutimi's banged up a little bit with Dawson Mercer out of the lineup. Hendrix Lapierre still waiting to get back into the lineup, so they're going to be an interesting team to watch if they get healthy in time for the playoffs. You know, I look at the Rimouski Oceanic. How can you ever count a guy like Lafreniere out? So a lot of pretty neat stories that have gone on in that league as well.
You're a good man, Cos. It is great to hear from you. We will do it again next month when your April rankings come out, but enjoy the push to the playoffs in the CHL. You're the man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steiny. Take care.